translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. After hearing Ramananda Rai speak in this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again rejected the statement and said, "Go ahead and say something more." Ramananda Rai then replied, "Devotional service mixed with empiric knowledge is the essence of perfection." Purport. Devotional service mixed with non-Vedic speculative knowledge is certainly not pure devotional service. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati in his Anubhasya preaches that self-realization following the execution of ritualistic ceremonies is in the neutral stage between liberation and conditioned life. It is a place beyond this material world in the river Virajha, where the three modes of material nature are subdued or neutralized in the unmanifest stage. However, the spiritual world is a manifestation of spiritual energy and is known as Vaikuntha Loka, the place where there is no anxiety. The material world is known as Brahmanda, is the creation of the external energy. Between the two creations, the material creation and the spiritual creation, is a river known as Virajha, as well as a place known as Brahmaloka. Virajanadi and Brahmaloka are shelters for living entities disgusted with material life and inclined to impersonal existence by way of denying material variegatedness. Since these places are not situated in the Vaikuntha Lokas or in the spiritual world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proclaims them to be external. In the Brahma Loka and the Virajha Nadi, one cannot conceive of the Vaikuntha Lokas. Brahma Loka and Virajha Nadi are also attained after difficult austerities, but in these realms, there is no understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His transcendental loving service. Without such spiritual knowledge, simple detachment from material conditions is but another side of material existence. From the spiritual point of view, it is all external. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected this proposal, Ramananda Rai suggested that devotional service based on philosophy and logic is a more advanced position. He therefore quoted the following verse from the Bhagavad Gita, 1854. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sita Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Churubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The verse again. After hearing Ramananda Rai speak in this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again rejected his statement and said, go ahead and say something more. Ramananda Rai then replied, devotional service mixed with empiric knowledge is the essence of perfection. So this is a very important, very relishable part of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is called Ramananda Samvad. It's not called Ramananda Shiksha, like we hear Sanatan Shiksha, because yes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not giving instruction to Ramananda Rai, but they are engaged in a conversation. It is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is like the unlimited ocean, and Ramananda Rai is like the cloud. Just like the cloud draws water from the ocean and then pours it back onto the ocean. Srila Ramananda Rai, he was being empowered, spoken through by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he's giving this knowledge. So this very important conversation, it starts off with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking a question to Ramananda Rai. And that question is, let me just see, in text number 57. Mahaprabhu says, Padashloka Sajira Nirnaya. Please explain to me through Padashloka, through quoting appropriate verses, that what is the ultimate goal of life? Such an important question. This question is similar to the questions that the 88,000 sages at Naimasharanya asked Sutta Goswami. They asked six questions. And the first question, a very important question, is please tell us what is the ultimate good for all people? So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has posed this question to Ramananda Rai. And Ramananda Rai, he replies. And you see, this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it follows a certain pattern. First, Ramananda Rai will propose, what is the ultimate goal of life? And then as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested of him, Padashloka, you then quote an appropriate verse from the Shastras. Because this is the Vedic process. Everything we say has to be backed up by evidence. And what is the evidence in the Vedic process? The evidence is the Vedic Shastra. So this is what Ramananda Rai is following. So the first proposal as the ultimate goal of life, you've been listening over the last few weeks, who can remember what was the first proposal Ramananda Rai made as the ultimate goal of life? Yes, Prabhu? Varnashram. Yeah, what about Varnashram? We should follow. And he quoted a verse from the Vishnu Purana. Vishnur arajyate panta nanyatatosha karanam. That if one executes the prescribed duties of his social position, he awakens his original Krishna consciousness. So that was his first proposal. Follow Varnashram Dharma and you will attain the goal. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his response was, after he quoted that, is Eko Bhaya Age Kahe Ar. This is external. This is external. Please say something more. So one may ask, why did Mahaprabhu reject Varnashram? Varnashram Dharma is advocated in the Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna himself. This is the system for progress in spiritual life. So on what basis did Mahaprabhu reject it? I was recently, in preparation for this class, reading something very wonderful. This is an unpublished manuscript of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada took sannyas in 1959. In the autumn of 1959, Srila Prabhupada wrote a 200-page essay. At that time, Srila Prabhupada took madhukari. Madhukari is like a bee. He doesn't cook, but just begs for something little to eat. But Srila Prabhupada's madhukari at that time was begging for paper and pen. So in this trunk was this 200-page essay. So when Srila Prabhupada, in 1977, Srila Prabhupada departed from this world. So one of his disciples was going through his trunk, and there he discovered this handwritten manuscript of Srila Prabhupada's, 200 pages. But unfortunately, the middle 40 pages was missing. So it got compiled, never published as a book, but it got compiled. The first part is Lord Chaitanya's travels from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri. And the second part called The Ultimate Goal of Life. Srila Prabhupada speaks about this Ramananda Samvad. And Srila Prabhupada has written so beautifully and explained everything that is taking place here so beautifully. That I'd like to share with you. I've printed some of these extracts and share with you what Srila Prabhupada says, and in particular, what does Srila Prabhupada say about Mahaprabhu rejecting the Varnashram system. You'd like to hear? It's very interesting. Prabhupada writes, "Thus Lord Chaitanya rejected Ramananda's proposal. Because in the age of Kali, the Varnashram Dharma is so degraded that any attempt to restore it to its original position will be hopeless. He also rejected Varnashram Dharma because it has no value in relation to pure devotional service. The second, more important consideration that is that even if the Varnashram system is observed strictly, it cannot help one to rise to the plane of transcendental service of Godhead." And Prabhupada goes on to say, "Yet, because the Varnashram system is a problem within the material world in the age of Kali, Lord Chaitanya wanted to distinguish it from the devotional activities which are transcendental by nature. Taking into consideration the transcendental nature of devotional service, which is the highest perfection of life, Lord Chaitanya declared the system of Varnashram Dharma to be external." So Mahaprabhu, he's not rejecting the Varnashram system per se, but he's rejecting on a few very relevant grounds. Firstly, it cannot be practiced properly. Secondly, in this Kali Yuga, as we know, Kalo Sudra Sambhavan. Everyone is Sudra by nature. So we should not practice. Actually, my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Giriraj Swami, was saying once he was listening to one lecture where Prabhupada said that even if one follows the Varnashram system perfectly, one can still go to hell. And the devotee was shocked. You could follow the Varnashram system and still go to hell. And my Guru Maharaj relates that he was thinking, this is a heavy statement by Prabhupada. You know, where is it backed up? And then when he was reading the 11th canto, the 5th chapter, he saw this wonderful verse in text number 3. Where it is written in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If any of the four members of the four ashramas and the four ashramas fail to worship or intentionally disregard the personality of Godhead, who is the source, who is their source, they will fall down from their position into a hellish condition of life. Patanti hadaha. So this Varnashram system was rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being external. So Ramananda Rai, he had to think quickly. What do I propose next? So he said, okay, Varnashram means duties. Dedicating, just following duties of the four Varnas and Ashrams. And Mahaprabhu is rejecting it, so we've got to add something to it. So what does he add? Okay, do your duties, but give the fruits of your duties. So then he proposes the next proposal he makes, Ramananda replied, to offer the results of one's activities to Krishna is the essence of all perfection. And then he quotes a verse to substantiate. Anyone remembers the verse? Yes. Yes. This is a verse on the Bhagavad Gita, a very famous verse. My dear son of Kunti, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in sacrifice, whatever you give in charity, and whatever austerities you perform, all the results of such activities should be offered to me, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mad Arpanam. Mad Arpanam. And what is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's reply? Eho bhaya age kaha ara. This is external. Please say something more. So why? All that you do, all that you eat, all that you give away, do as an offering to me. Mahaprabhu is rejecting it. Why? Srila Prabhupada, again I shall read why Srila Prabhupada rejects, Mahaprabhu rejects it. Prabhupada says, the present age of Kali is almost fully surcharged with the imperfect idea of the absolute truth being impersonal. The materialistic people of the world are practically all atheistic and immoral due to the infectious conditions of Kali Yuga. The grossly materialistic people cannot understand how it is possible to give away the result of one's work. It is impossible for grossly materialistic people to part with their earnings that are made by their personal effort. Such gross materialists can simply get information from the suggestion that they have to give away the result of their personal labor to the personality of Godhead. But because they do not have a clear idea of the personality of Godhead or the process of giving the result of their earnings to the personality of Godhead, it is very difficult for them to practice this conception. Prabhupada is saying, if you have impersonal tendencies, if you have no connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have worked hard for this. Will you have an inclination to give? No. My wife, Rinda Devi, and myself, we were discussing this verse the other day. And she was saying how, even when she was a little girl, a mother will tell her, everything you should do, Krishna Arpanam. When you give the money, or you give the donation, say Krishna Arpanam. But that was just parrot-like. There's no connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People are so impersonal, so materialistic, so hard-hearted. To give is practically impossible. So Mahaprabhu said, this is external. Please say something more. And now we come to the third proposition that Mahaprabhu is making, which is what this verse is about. And what was the third proposition that Mahaprabhu made? Sarvadharma Paricharya. So Ramananda Rai is thinking, okay, you know, I proposed Varnashrama, it got rejected. I added a bit of give to Krishna, it got rejected. So neither the Varnashram or giving is satisfying Mahaprabhu. What should I propose now? He said, let me propose, give up everything. Just give up everything. Take sannyas. Give up everything and take sannyas. That's what Prabhupada says, you know, in the purport. That's the proposal. And to substantiate, he quotes two verses. One from the Srimad Bhagavatam and one from the Bhagavad Gita. The verse he quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam is 11.11.32, which rejects occupational duties. Ramananda Rai continued, occupational duties are described in the religious scriptures. If one analyzes them, he can fully understand their duties and faults and then give them up completely to render service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a person is considered a first-class man. Beautiful verse. Give up everything and render devotional service to Krishna. And then he quotes 1866. And what is Mahaprabhu's response? As we've just read, Prabhupada uses some striking words here in this particular purport. He says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again rejected his statement and said, go ahead and say something more. Now for many of us, this is a big surprise. It's because Prabhupada is saying he's rejected. We all brought up and we all thought, we read Bhagavad Gita, the culmination, the essence, the final verse of the Bhagavad Gita is 1866. And here we have Mahaprabhu rejecting it. So how should we understand it? That we shall discuss now. So this verse is made up of two parts. Prabhu kahe, Mahaprabhu said, and then Raya kahe. Now, I spent a little time describing the context because it's very important for this. So the first part is Prabhu kahe, heho bhaya, age, kahe ar. And Prabhupada says, Mahaprabhu rejected. So is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected in 1866? The answer is no. The answer is no. In our Vaishnav culture, in our Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition, we have this concept. Perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. Yeah? Whatever Krishna says, it's perfect. Varnashram is perfect. 1866 is perfect. But we have the principle in Vaishnav Siddhanta of perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. And this is probably substantiated by a nice verse in the Nectar of Instruction. Text number 9. There Rupa Goswami writes, the holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world. Because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathura Puri is the transcendental forest of Vrindavan because of Krishna's Rasa Leela pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And above all, the super excellent Sri Radha Kund stands supreme, For it is overflooded with the ambrosial nectarine prema of the Lord of Gokula, Lord Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve the divine Radhakund, which is situated on the foot of Govardhan Hill? Now, why am I quoting this verse? We all know that once you go beyond the material world, we go into the absolute world. In the absolute world, there is no superior, there is no inferior. There is no good, there is no bad. There's no relativity. Everything is absolute. But here we have Srila Rupa Goswami saying, superior to Vaikuntha is Mathura. Superior to Mathura is Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, superior is Govardhan Hill. And superior to Govardhan Hill is Radhakund. So on what basis is it superior? I was studying one nectar of instruction class with my Guru Maharaj, and he explained very nicely. The distinction is made on the basis of rasa. In Vaikuntha Loka, you get Dasya Ras. In Mathura, Krishna takes birth, so you get Vatsalya Ras. In Govardhan Hill, the Rasa Leela takes place, and you get Madhurya Ras. And then in Radhakund, it's the place of Srimati Radharani. So the point being, on the basis of rasa, there's some distinctions made. Like we hear, Bhagavad Gita is foundational study. Srimad Bhagavatam is graduate study. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is postgraduate study. So this is made on the basis of Siddhanta. Sutapa Prabhu, in his book, Chaitanya Charitamrita Compact, he's explained it very nicely in one diagram. He says, Bhagavad Gita starts with verse 13 in chapter 2, you're not this body. And where does Bhagavad Gita end? 1866. Abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. Where does Srimad Bhagavatam start off? The second verse, Dharma Projita Koita Vatra. That abandoning all religion that is materialistic, motivated. This Bhagavatam propounds the highest truth. And where does Bhagavatam end? What is the final word of Bhagavatam? What is the very last verse, the 23rd verse of the 12th chapter of the 13th chapter of the 12th canto of the 13th verse chapter say? Chanting. It said there, I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord Hari. The congregational chanting of whose holy names destroy all sinful activity reactions, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. So the final word of the Bhagavatam is what? Chanting. Chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And where does Chaitanya Charitamrita start? With Mahaprabhu saying, I will come and teach the process of chanting. And where does it end? With Krishna Prema. So we have this concept, and when we see these verses, we see them in that light. So now back to the purport. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not actually rejecting 1866. He's only rejecting the part where it says abandon all varieties of duties and surrender unto me. That means take sannyas. Actually, the very next chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita is something very interesting happens. It's called the Lord's Tour. Where is it called? This chapter is really long. Lord Chaitanya travels to the holy places. That's what it's called. And when it's described there, the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, once he went to the Udupi temple, and there he saw the deity of Madhvacharya, the dancing baby Krishna. And there he met the head of the Madhva Sampradaya. And there he asked the head of the Madhva Sampradaya a very similar question. What is the goal of life? And the head of the Madhva Sampradaya was very learned. He said, the goal of life is to execute one's duty perfectly and worship the Lord and get liberation. And Mahaprabhu rejected it. And then Mahaprabhu said, no, the ultimate goal of life is hearing and chanting. And then Mahaprabhu went on. And guess which verses he quotes to the head of the Sampradaya to tell him the goal is not occupational duties. He quotes this very same verses against them. 11.11.32 and 18.66. So Mahaprabhu, the evidence is here. He's not rejecting it. He's actually quoting it to substantiate the Vaishnava Siddhanta. So Mahaprabhu, Eko Bhaya Age Kara are rejecting it. No, Mahaprabhu is not rejecting these very wonderful verses from the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, but he's rejecting the principle of sannyas. Now, Ramananda Rai, what does he say next? He's tried, he's even proposed sannyas. So, Ramananda Rai thinks, okay, what is sannyas? Generally, in the world today, sannyas means karma sannyas. It's the sannyas of the impersonalist. And what is the activities of this karma sannyasis? What is the prime activity of the karma sannyasis? Yes, renunciation or practice of austerities. And the second part is speculative study. So these are the activities of the karma sannyasis. Austerities and speculative studies. So he said, okay, you know, that is okay. I won't leave that part. So now I'm going to suggest to this karma sannyasis, let them add some devotion. So therefore he says, jnana mishra bhakti. He proposes mixed devotional service. And now we get into the purport. Because I tell you, when I was reading the purport, and Prabhupada is talking about the Viraja River, the boundary between the spiritual world and the material world in relation to 1866, what has it got to do with this? I couldn't understand it. And I was so happy when I read Prabhupada's manuscript of 1959 where he explains the Viraja River. Viraja. Okay. So let me read this to you all. Sorry, what time do we finish on the Saturday? 8:45. Okay, so we have a little time. So Srila Prabhupada writes, and he just got a caption there, except sannyas. Ramananda suggested that we give up practicing the rules of Varnashram Dharma and take sannyas. Acceptance of sannyas means to renounce materialistic life. And in doing so, one has to engage fully in the devotional service of Godhead. That's what true sannyas means. You give up material life and you accept the service of Krishna. Prabhupada goes on to write, an improved consciousness for the materialist is a desire to either retire from material activities or stay at a place that is undisturbed by the uproar of the modes of nature. So beautifully Prabhupada describes it. This is their objective, you know. Done with material life. I'll take sannyas, and what I'll do, I'll retire from material activities, and I'll be undisturbed by the modes of material nature. Then Prabhupada goes to say, the river Viraja is outside the boundary of the material world where there is no disturbance from the three modes of nature. The material world is the creation of the external energy of Godhead and Vaikuntha. The spiritual world is the creation of the internal energy of Godhead. Viraja is situated between the material world and the spiritual world. It's outside the boundary of both the material and spiritual world. However, renunciation without any positive engagement is imperfect and cannot give the candidate the desired result of love of God. Yet, Prabhupada says, the aim of Lord Chaitanya is to bring people to the spiritual world. Therefore, this suggestion of Ramananda, which does not take one within the boundary of Vaikuntha, was also rejected by the Lord. You understand? So taking sannyas means you have now given up the material. You've overcome the modes of nature. In this, the river, the viraja, the moment you come on the other side of the boundary, you enter the material world. And you, the moment you enter the material world, what happens? Two things happen to us. Firstly, we take on a false ego, a false identity. And the second thing is, we come under the influence of the material modes of nature. That's the first two things that happen to the living entity when we fall into the material world. Ahankara, we take on the false ego, that which we're not, like we're all doing now, you know, acting under the false ego, and then acting under the modes of nature. So these sannyasis, the karma sannyasis, at best, their perfection is they can overcome the modes of material nature. And that's the river, viraja. But they can't go on the other side. They cannot go into the spiritual realm. Why can't they go into the spiritual realm? That is what Prabhupada has explained in the purport. They have given up the material, but they have no idea of what is the spiritual. They have no idea of what is service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And for that reason, they cannot transcend. So this is the fundamental reason that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Ramananda Rai, it is external. The sannyas that you have proposed is external. Because it gives you no information of the spiritual. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission was to take everyone back to the spiritual world. So he was not going to reject, accept such a proposal. So therefore, Ramananda Rai then talks about Jnana Mishra Bhakti. And we know from the outset where this one's going to go, isn't it? Mixed? No ways. Now they mix. One Srila Prabhupada was in America. And they were on a walk. And there was a big factory and it had a sign. Unalloyed steel. We sell unalloyed steel. So there's different steels. You get the pure steel and you get the alloys where you add different types of metal. And Prabhupada says, just like they are advertising unalloyed steel, we are advertising unalloyed bhakti. And therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami gives this beautiful definition of bhakti in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anya bilashita shunya, jnana karmadi anavrita, anakulyena krishna anushilanam, bhakti uttama. Bhakti uttama means the topmost bhakti is of a certain nature. The first aspect it is jnana karma adi. Shunyam, you make zero. You make zero any bhakti that has any tinge of karma, fruit of activity, jnana, speculative philosophy or the desire for impersonal liberation, and adi. Adi means the eightfold mystic yoga process. Uttama bhakti means shunyam, you make that zero. And then one should serve Krishna continuously, in a favorable mood, as Krishna desires. So these are the key elements of Uttama Bhakti. It must be free of all of this. It must be continuous. The mood must be favorable. And it must be as Krishna desires. All have to be there. Kamsa was thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. The goal of spiritual life is Krishna Smaranam. Kamsa was thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. Do we consider Kamsa's mood that we should emulate? No. Because he was thinking, how shall I kill Krishna? His mood was not favorable. Then my Guru Maharaj tells one story. He went to a life member's house, office, and this life member, he had chai brought to him. And he says, Swamiji, you want chai? No, we don't take. He said, okay. He put his chai, he opened his drawer, he took a little box. In this box he has tulsi leaf. He took a tulsi leaf, put in his tea and he drank. He says, Swamiji, everything I eat or drink, I put tulsi leaf. That's not pure bhakti. Why? It is not as Krishna desires. His mood is favorable, but it is not as Krishna desires. So Srila Rupa Goswami has given this perfect definition. And what is so beautiful of this definition, it removes all selfishness. It removes all hostility. Like this verse, Yat Karoshi, Yad Ashnashi, Yad Juhosi, Dadasi Yat. What that means? It means Krishna, I do what I want, but I offer the results to you. And that is karma yoga. And karma yoga means there is still some hostility towards Krishna. There's still some isha and dvesha, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. There's still elements of isha and dvesha. Yes, Krishna, you can be happy. I like to see you happy. But I also want to be happy in my own way. That's karma yoga. That's karma yoga. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process removes all hostility, all selfishness, completely negates all the isha and dvesha. And we'll see in the next verse, Ramananda Rai has made his proposal. He's now going to quote a very nice verse from Bhagavad Gita, we all know, to substantiate Jnana Mishra Bhakti. But we leave that for the speaker tomorrow. And I think maybe we should leave some time for questions or comments. I'll stop here and I'll see if anyone's got any questions or comments. Hare Krishna. Yes, Antaranga Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for the wonderful class. Very nice, very beautiful presentation. My question is regarding one of your last points, the Isha Dvesha, that you kind of said that this is kind of a karma yoga. Okay, Hare Krishna. So you mentioned a point about Isha Dvesha and connected with connection to karma yoga. I was thinking about is could be considered to be, let's say, Nishkama karma yoga, because for instance in Nishkama karma yoga we perform the devotional activity, but we perform it the way we want it and the activity which we want it. So it's still connection to some kind of a result or some kind of a gratification, spiritual gratification, but still also pointed toward us. So if you can maybe mention the difference between this karma yoga in this connection and Nishkama karma yoga.
Okay. The best way is by way of an example that I heard my Guru Maharaj say, and I really like to quote this example. There is a farmer, right? So there are some farmers. There's one class of farmers. They grow crops and fruit. And they are karmis. They say, I want all of the fruits to come to me. But there is one farmer, he grows mangoes. And his mango tree gives 100 mangoes. And he says, you know what? All these mangoes are coming by the potency, the energy of Krishna. So let me give Krishna 50 mangoes. I keep 50 mangoes. And that's a good arrangement. That's Sakam Karma Yoga. Then there's another farmer. He says, all these mangoes are coming from Krishna's energies, Krishna's potency. So there's 100 mangoes I give, I get. Krishna, all 100 mangoes are yours. That's Nishkam Karma Yoga. Then the spiritual master comes to the farmer and says, you know what, Krishna told me in a dream that he's a bit fed up of mangoes. He likes to eat guavas now. The farmer will say, no, I can't do that. I'm a mango farmer. I like growing mangoes. I can't do guavas. But the devotee will say, Krishna, you like guavas? No problem. Forget mangoes. No more cultivation of mangoes. From tomorrow, I'm cultivating guavas. That is bhakti. That's the difference between Sakam Karma Yoga, Nishkam Karma Yoga, and bhakti. Sakam and Nishkam Karma, Sakam Karma Yoga attached to the fruits and the work. Nishkam Karma Yoga, not attached to the fruit, but attached to the work. Bhakti Yoga, neither attached to the fruits nor the work. Does that clarify, Prabhu? Yes. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prayojan Prabhu.
Can you clarify then the statement of Prabhupada from the letter from Jaya Pataki, where he says about a surrendered soul? He says that such a surrendered soul sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. No matter what I am doing now, I'm meant to be doing. And so he says, so let me do it with my full attention, no matter what it all is. Let all other considerations be forgotten. And then it says, let me do it, let me become absorbed in such service. No matter what it is, let all other considerations be forgotten. And that my only motive is Krishna's alone pleasure. So, can you tell me, it is under, in this, is that it reminds me of that verse, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So, what is the difference between this where you actually dedicate whatever you've got as, because it's Krishna's plan, you know, you're seeing it in that way, that it's coming from Krishna and I just give it to him, and my only motive is Krishna's alone pleasure. Can you clarify that one? Because it's sort of like, it's almost like whatever you do, do it for me.
Yeah, I know that letter you're speaking about.
Yeah,
it's written to Jayapataka Swami.
Yeah.
I have it saved and I read it quite often.
Yeah.
Because it's so instructive.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada is, the essence of Prabhupada is saying, whatever service we get, we should take it that this service has been given to us by Krishna. And we should absorb ourselves completely in that service, neither thinking it's a lower service or a higher service, neither looking left, right, or feeling distracted. Prabhupada says, that's the mood of a devotee. So in whatever service we got, that is always our mood. But any day, that service can be changed by the spiritual master. Any day it can be changed by the spiritual master. And when it gets changed by the spiritual master, the next service we go to, we'll have the same mood. This service has been given to Krishna. I absorb myself completely and I do it. So we move. So that's the context. It's the devotee, whatever service he got, he absorbs himself completely and takes it. It's been given to him by Krishna. But that service changes, there's no attachment to the service. I'm not a Sankirtan devotee, I'm not a pujari, I'm not an artist, I'm not a cook. You know, any day my service can change, and that's my service given to me by the spiritual master who is the representative of Krishna. And Prabhupada says, all upadis, even within devotional service, the upadi that I am a Sankirtan devotee, the upadi I'm a cook, the upadi that I'm a pujari, the upadi that I'm a kirtan leader, sarva upadi vinirmuktam tatparavkvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesham sevana bhakti uchyate. Whatever pleases Krishna, pleasing the service, the senses of Krishna, that's what we do.
So then that's like that when Mahaprabhu says, I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya.
Namvarni nacha kriyarpati.
A servant of the servant.
Yeah, dasa servant dasa anudasa. That's it.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Okay, I don't think there's any other questions, comments. Thank you so much for your patient listening and your questions. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Go Premanande.